Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord God, we thank you so much for all you're doing. We thank you that we get to be a part of it here in Southern Maine, that in Greater Portland, and in Westbrook, and Windham, and Gorham, Buxton, and all the places that are coming together to serve you. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to open our eyes to opportunities, open our ears to chances to be your hands and feet. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Heidi's going to come up, and she's going to speak. Next week, I'll be speaking. We've been doing a series called Sharing Your Story or Telling Your Story. And the focus has been on life. You know, how have we come to where we are? What does this faith thing mean? And I love that it's been really powerful. It's been so cool to hear about community. It's been cool to get this idea that, man, we have all been through rough times and made poor choices at times, or been on the other side of somebody else's poor choices, and God steps into the mess and redeems. It's like, I love those cans and stuff that you get and you redeem them for 5 cents. If you don't redeem them, they're just worthless. They go in the trash, right? But it's when you redeem them, they become valuable. When Christ redeems us, he gives us value and says, wow, okay, you are mine. And we'll go from here. All right. So this is Heidi. And I was told there'd be no math. And I will turn your mic on.
All right. I'm going to see if all of these will stack on top of each other, because it's a visual. It's a visual. You're going to put this one book, like he said, side stadium seats suck, so good luck to you all. These are, I'm not going to be able to put them all together. Right, this is the last. This one is not complete. All of these are journals that I've written in. They're not of my whole life. I think I'm missing maybe preteen years. This is the one I'm in right now, so it's not complete. I've been told by a few people that my writing sucks. So it's the process. If anybody were to read these after I'm gone, good luck. You won't get anything out of it because they're all cursive, and my cursive is terrible. But anyway, so I wanted to compare things that I've written in my life that have occurred to God's Word, because everybody thinks this is a book about a bunch of people, and it's not. It's stories of people that had God in their lives. And I'd much rather read this than all that. This is a lot easier. So I just wanted you to see. It's more like the process for me to document. So I'm going to share my testimony, which... Oh, you guys are getting a lot of wind, aren't you?
Don't worry. We're fine.
There we go. So I grew up in a Baptist church, attending Baptist church, my whole life. And people used to share their testimony, which we've heard a few recently, on how God changed their life and how they were living before Christ and how they're living after Christ came in and rescued them. Well, I never thought I had a testimony growing up. I didn't have a life like that where God came crashing in and said, all right, you got to stop living this way and you got to change your ways. So I never thought I had a testimony until probably about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I realized the definition of a testimony that I grew up with is telling how you became a Christian, how you got to know Christ, and how Christ changed your life. I Googled the definition of a testimony, and it's evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. So it dawned on me just a few years ago that a testimony is not something that occurred in your life. It's something that is, for a Christian, it's something that is continuing to occur in your life. So it's not necessarily a one-time thing that happens in your life. So if I come up here and I tell you how I got to become a Christian in my testimony, it really is a continuing thing. So my story will never end. My testimony, my witness will never end. And even today's stuff is just, you know, of course, a portion of it. I know a lot of you that know me, I can talk. Never used to be that way, but something happened. So I just want to, last time I was up here was April 23rd. And yes, I've got tissues because I lost it last time, so I might do that again. And I shared with you that I was having to move out of my comfort zone and find a place to stay while in the process of getting a house. So Jen opened up her house right before I came up on the 23rd. On the 22nd, I went over to her house and checked out her castle that she's got going on with her cat. Yes, she has a cat. Us dog people. So I asked for prayer, for a place to stay, and Scott, of course, knows everything that's happening in everybody's life, so he contacted her, said Heidi needs a place, and then evidently that wasn't good enough, so he contacted me and said, you got to get a hold of Jen. So we, Jen opened up her home to me, and I've been living with her since June, still am. So that has been an adjustment. I really enjoyed having my own place for a few years and getting my life back and enjoying becoming Heidi Sprague again. But it has been a blast. It has, Jen will tell you. She knows too much of me now, so it's time for me to move on. She can pretty much guesstimate my actions and things like that, so it's time I move out. So I knew that God was going to do something with this move, moving in with Jen, having to live in a bedroom and share life and share things with somebody else. A lot of you know that Jen was diagnosed with breast cancer just before I moved in with her, and that confirmed the reason why I needed to come out of my comfort zone and move in with her, because she was going to need somebody. And some of you know that my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer 11 years ago. And I didn't learn the first time to not put those there. So maybe I'll learn again. So I was unable to help my mom through breast cancer under circumstances I was living with. So I believe God did this, arranged this for Jen to have somebody and for me to be able to give back to somebody that was going through something my mom went through that I couldn't be a part of. So that has really helped me to see what my mom went through and to experience that and to be of help and give back to somebody. So that was the reason why I had to get out of my place, move in with Jen, and now move on to another. Oh, yeah, I love clothespins. Awesome. Thank you. So God and I have been together 43 years. And that's a really long time to be with somebody. You know, I know how... I know how he works. I know how he is with me. I know how he speaks to me. And I've just, evidently he knows me, he made me. And sometimes I have to remind him of that when situations come up. I just remind him, look, you made me to think ahead. Don't be doing this last minute thing, you know? It doesn't work for me. You know that. You know me. And he just says, deal with it, you know. So a lot of you know that Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And there's a whole list of people in there who had faith in God. And some of them didn't get to see the promises that they had, that God had promised, or experienced them. But if you read... In the verse verse 1 is the definition of faith. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, which is awesome. I didn't even tell Ed what I was talking about. So that having this confidence and faith in that song really speaks to what I'm going to be speaking about today, Ed. God's timing. He knew that. So the definition is, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. The ancients are the heroes of faith in the pre-Christian era. So if you go through, I'm not going to read it to you, but if you go through Hebrews 11, it proves everybody's faith that they had in God. Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. There's a whole list of people in the Bible that prove that shows their faith in God. So in the song that we just sang about God's confidence, I want to show you why I have this confidence and why I had this faith in God that he was going to be doing something in this whole process of me moving, having to move again, and what it is for me for daily. So it says in verse 6 in the Hebrews 11 that it is impossible to please God without faith. So that's kind of scary. So when we stop having faith, we're not pleasing God. It's completely impossible to please him if we don't have that faith in him. He created us. He has the map of our life. Why wouldn't we look to somebody that has the map and who's made that plan for us? Because we're human and we want to do it ourselves and we think we know what's better because we see what's down here. We don't see the whole picture, though. So I want to ask you a question. Is when you came today and you got your camp chair out, how did you know that you could just sit in it and not fall, not falter? She's sitting on the bench. Some of you are sitting on benches. When you went to go put your chair out and you went and sat in it, why did you know that you could sit in it and it would hold you? Because you looked back and you remembered, I used it last week, or last time I used it, it held me up. You had to remember, right? You had to remember that you sat in that chair before and it's going to hold you up. You didn't check it all out. Is it working? Is it functioning? No, I knew this table would hold it because it's mine. I've used it. And I've seen people use this, so I know, I remembered. So if you don't start remembering things in your life, how are you going to know you're going to have faith in the future or confidence in God if you don't look back? Yes, we're running a race. Yes, we're in a marathon, and we're supposed to run this race. And we're supposed to only focus on God and Christ and looking forward. But if we don't look back once in a while, when we hit a storm or that we need to step out, then we're not going to remember. We're not going to look back and remember and remember God's faithfulness and what he's done and what he's blessed us and look for what he's going to do. Then we can't see ahead if we don't look back. I mean, you know, we all have a rearview mirror in our car. We're supposed to be looking forward. That's why the windshield's bigger. But if we don't look in the rearview mirror, we can't see behind us and where we've been. So we do have to look back once in a while. We don't have to focus on it, but we have to look back to remember, to help us through that next storm that we have to go through. So I look back at my background in this confidence. I had parents. I have parents. You've met them. You guys were so gracious to them when they were here in May. They love you guys. They'll be back again. I'm working on it. But I was 7 years old when I accepted Christ into my heart. We had family devotions, and my parents always came up to our bedrooms, and sometimes we did them as family, sometimes we did them as individuals. But there was a night that I was sitting on my bed waiting for my parents to come in because they were with my brother, praying with him, and I decided that I wanted what my parents had. I wanted to obey God, and I wanted to please my parents, and I wanted to please God. So I did what I was taught to do, and I asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life. And I didn't really know life without Christ. I grew up in church. I grew up going to youth group. I grew up, you know, my parents lived and breathed church family and church, you know, Christian friends and things like that. I went to a Christian school growing up. So I was just engulfed in it, which I'm very thankful for. So I saw my parents in times of need. You know, things happen. You need cars, jobs, you need money. I always saw my parents pray about it, and they always confided in each other and had that communication with each other to look to God and look to Christian friends and to family and things like that. So I have that upbringing of watching my parents do that. And again, I was fed through youth group, Sunday school. I served in a puppet ministry in my church. So I always had that church family to support me and to love on me. So that gave me the best foundation I think you can get. Some people might call it being in a bubble, but I don't really think it put me in a bubble, because my parents did expose me to life and to the world, but it gave me that foundation to make sure that I can weather any storm. So I went through college for early childhood, lived with my grandmother, which was a blessing because I didn't realize that was going to be the last 2 years of her life when I lived with her. So that, I was really close to my grandmother. I think all of us moved back with our parents once in a while. Moved back with them, started my career in early childhood in 96. And then I got married and I had a son, and I was married for 19 years. And God, you know, I thought at the time it was supposed to be. We were supposed to be together. And I believed that. We had prayed. We had included God in our relationship until I got married. But God always took care of me. I had learned that already. He always provided for me, always blessed me. And he provided for me financially, physically, spiritually. I had a strong relationship with him. Went to church, tried to raise my son as much as I could, to have a relationship with God. I had friends, I had good co-workers. He protected me physically, kept my son and I safe. He continued to bless me. I think my biggest blessing out of that was my son. I always wanted to be a teacher, always wanted to be a mom, and be involved in church family like I grew up. That to me was my purpose. So 2017, February 2017, I had to step out on the scariest waters I've ever stepped out onto. I can relate to Peter when he stepped out of the boat and he looked at Christ to walk across the water. And sometimes your situation is so big that you, not that you don't see God, but he's very distant and you're not sure he's gonna get you. So I didn't necessarily have a time in my life that I didn't have Christ in my life and I was living in sin and he came in and rescued me. What I more had was that I had that foundation and I was not living in Christ, and he was continually with me during that whole marriage, if that's what I call it. There were many nights I even just slept with my Bible because I didn't know why I was in the situation I was in. It was a very mental, spiritual, emotional, abusive relationship, neglect, everything but physical. So I didn't know why. I never turned against God. I just, that's not really an option in my mind. He's my God, he's my Savior. So I just had a lot of whys. Why did my son have a father like this? And why am I in this situation? Why is he a completely different person than what I dated? So thankfully I did have contact with my brother. I couldn't have contact with my family. I was cut off from them for 8 years. So that's why I couldn't help my mother through cancer. So I finally, with my brother's, I won't say nagging, but he's pretty persistent. Of course, he was out in California, so, you know, he wasn't at my doorstep every day, but encouraged me to leave. And there was a last straw that occurred a week before I decided to leave. And I remember being in the shower, and I just cried. I cried out to God saying, I can't take this anymore. I've tried everything I can to be faithful to you, to be faithful to him, to be faithful to my son. I tried everything and nothing, not that it wasn't working, but I'm only one party and the other party has to admit that we need to work on things and do this together. And that wasn't happening. And I just cried out and I said, that's it, you gotta do something. I don't know what to do. I gotta get out of this. And he did. 2 weeks before I left, very strangely, very out of the normal behavior of my father-in-law. It was my husband's stepfather, but they did not have a relationship. He said to me, if anything happens between you and my ex, you can come stay with me. That's very odd because he's very particular about his space, and he had a 500 square foot apartment. So for him to say, if anything happens to you and him, you and my son can come stay with him. And I'm like, I was over there cleaning. I cleaned for him once a month. So I'm like, okay, that was weird. I don't know what's going to be happening. Then I need to move in with you. And that would probably be my last choice because I know the discomfort it would cause him. So lo and behold, I called him on a Saturday and said, hey, Joe, what's up? Can I come over tomorrow? And Max and I crashed your place for a while. And he's like, come on over. So about 4 or 5 a.m. Sunday morning, I left. I packed up all Max's my stuff that I had gotten together. And we snuck out. And we went over to my father-in-law's, unloaded, and we went to church. And God provided a woman, my mom's best friend, showed up at church. She had been waiting because she had recognized some things that I didn't because I was so far gone into the life of that. She kind of knew through her experience, and she and I went out to lunch after church. I brought Max back to my father-in-law's, and she offered me to stay with her. So I moved out a week later, moved in with her and lived with her for 3 years. So this whole, God's got something going on with three. I don't know what it is. I lived with her for 3 years. I was in my apartment for 3 years. I think he broke it with Jen because I've been there about 4 months now. So we're going on a record. But he has shown his faithfulness to me because of my faithfulness to him. And he's always taken care of me. So it's not that he stopped the way I was living in sin before I met him, but he helped me find that this was not in his will for me to live in that situation because I wasn't able to serve. I was refused to even tithe, and I was able to attend church and that's it. I had to come home right after church or there'd be accusations. So I knew I wasn't serving God, but he still had continued to protect me, provide for me, and bless me. So now the Heidi that you see is the Heidi that I was beforehand. I have some, you know, a few scars and bruises and things like that, but I think we all do. And I look back and I have to learn from that and I have to grow from that and continue to serve him wherever I can because that's where I'm happy and that's where he blesses others. And I need to be who he created me to be in order to do that. So I have to continue that faithfulness because I know he's going to be there. And just like, let me see. Oh boy, you guys. Just like in Hebrews 11, I have a challenge for you after this, but I have a couple of people that I know that I'm going to read to you, a couple of people's examples, like the people in the Bible in Hebrews 11, of their faith story. So, you know what? I'm going to take a drink. I haven't cried yet, so that's good. There was a man in his 40s. He stepped out in faith from his comfort level, controlled environment, to live amongst others in the mountains, to do the right thing and rid himself of a sin. It was the most difficult thing he had ever done. He recommitted himself to Christ and was changed, and he's making a future for Christ in his life today. There was a woman in her 70s. She stepped out in faith, took in another woman and her son to live with her in her home. She provided shelter, warmth, emotional, moral, and spiritual support. She could have been in danger while doing so, and at times her home was even damaged. She lost her privacy and sometimes her peace. She charged this woman no fee and let her stay as long as she needed to get back on her feet. The woman she helped was renewed in Christ, received her identity back, and lives for Christ to this day. A man in his 50s took his wife, his wife and her sister across the country. A couple, they sold their house. They gave away most of their belongings and headed to help out their son and his very young children get through a very bad divorce. The couple continued to love on their grandchildren and teach them about God. Their grandchildren are grown into young adults now. They don't have a relationship with God, but one of them often still keeps in contact with their grandparents. They are now pouring into their adult daughter, who ended a traumatic journey and has been rebuilding her relationship with them and God, finding her new life of freedom and service. A 13-year-old steps out in faith. I didn't learn. It takes me a few times. Steps out in faith and chooses to follow a calling to head to Alaska for a summer and help a missionary teach the gospel. She flies all by herself, even while there's a tornado that she can physically see outside the airplane window at the same time. But she had faith that God was in control. 2 years later, she chooses to step out again in faith, this time to fly alone to the Philippines. She joins a missionary family to help start a puppet ministry in their village to teach the gospel. 29 years later, again, she chooses to step out onto the worst waters she has ever seen. She takes her son, not knowing where she is to go. Who is going to help her? Will she be able to make it on her own? And she chose to leave the socially, emotionally, verbally, spiritually abusive, neglective relationship of 19 years and seek help. She is invited to live with a woman who welcomed her into her home, providing her shelter and warmth, emotional, moral, and spiritual support, not charging her anything so she can get her identity back and receive healing. She is now serving in her church family, living a life for Christ and well on her own. She has been joined by a knight in God's armor, growing and serving Christ together. So I ask you, during all this time, I've been with FBC since COVID. You guys have loved on me, you've let me serve, you've gotten to know me. Some of you I still need to get to know more. And I appreciate you being such an accepting family of me in letting me lead the ladies' connection once in a while and do my Bible study and let me be who I am and serve God and serve you guys. because that's my ultimate, everybody's kind of purpose is to serve God and love others, as Scott was explaining our t-shirt that we have. Let me join in the, you know, organizing the kitchen. I just really appreciate it, because there are some churches that don't let you be you and let you join and help wherever your talent is and your gifts that God has given you. So I really do appreciate you guys, my church family, letting me be who I am. So I ask you a question of what your faith story is. And I want you this week to look back and review all that God has done for you and where your faithfulness was and where his faithfulness is. And Paul encourages us in Philippians 3, which is my favorite book. He encourages us to forget what is behind and strain for what is ahead. And we have a goal to win the prize that God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. And like I said, we are in a race. The race is already marked out. You know, God's already got our plan, our map of our life. We just have to just be humble and say, all right, what do you want me to do with this? This has occurred. What is it? What is it? You know my resources. You know where I am. You know what I have. What do you want me to do? Instead of getting upset and trying to figure out on our own. And sometimes that's through other people. He answers us through other people, through scripture, through music. Music is huge for me. He's done a lot for me in the contemporary Christian world. So I just ask you to remember, just like you did when you sat in that chair. You remembered it held you up last time. He'll hold you up again. You just got to look back and remember and say, all right, Lord, yes, you did. But I encourage you this week to go back and you know, I journal. I don't know what you do, but just jot down. Have something physically to look at to remind you this is what he's done. And pull that out when you have the next storm. Pull it out. Keep it handy. Pull it out and say, yep, that's right. Okay. We'll move on. We'll step out. And yes, you are gonna look at your situation and you're gonna start to sink. But every time I've asked him to pull me out and say, all right, Lord, evidently I can't do this on my own, because look where I am. I'm stuck in bed all day long and I can't get out of myself. So pull me out, and he will. He will pull you out every single time, no matter how many times we do it. And I look to him as a father. Parents, they don't give up on their kids. No matter how many times, he knows we're going to do it. He just sits there and watches us. And we just have to ask for forgiveness, and he's faithful. So that is one tidbit of my life. I'll be back.
Oh, thank you. And I have to tell you that it was, you know, 4.5-5 months ago, I knew these two women who were both facing crisis, but they didn't know each other.
No.
And so we had Heidi, who was losing her home again because her landlord was selling. And then I had she's our neighbor, but she's our family member now, because my grandkids look for her. We're like, where's Jen? She's part of the family. So I've got my sister living next to me, and she's facing breast cancer. And I was like, I didn't know that yet. She didn't know that yet. But I sent her a message saying, hey, have you seen that Heidi needs a place to live? She was like, oh, I should probably think about that.
Yep, that's
the way that Jen does.
Yep.
Well, I don't know what that would look like. And so she steps out in faith and says, all right, I'm going to meet her. She's bringing her ferret over. I don't know how that's going to go. My cat's probably going to kill the ferret, but I don't know. And so Jen was being Jen, but she was like trusting God, saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to open my home to this woman I don't really know yet. Now they're sisters. Mm-hmm. And after Heidi is now moving in, Jen discovers she is going to face the challenge of her life with breast cancer. She's no longer facing that alone.
And she can't get enough of the ferret.
And she loves the ferret, but Jen's cat seems to love Heidi more, so
yep.
there's some conflict
yep.
there.
Yeah, Ani Jen and Ani.
My solution is, you know, you need to let the cat free. That's how I feel about cats. But how awesome is it how God works?
No.
Knew all of those things were going to happen in that timing and put it all together. Everybody in the world would be like, oh, what a coincidence. I'm like, oh, it's God's providential love. And so it's so cool to see that and how God is using our body and getting us working together to meet each other's needs, and our stories show his faithfulness. Thanks for sharing that, Heidi. That was awesome.
And I forgot to tell you guys, I'm moving the weekend of Columbus Day weekend into my house.
Yeah, so she got a house.
I'll be signing in the next week or two. So, yeah.
I
know a lot of you know that's been ongoing.
So all you guys who have a pickup truck, get ready.
No, we'll have a party.
We'll have a party.
Yeah.
We'll have a moving party.
We'll have a party. Big party.
All right. So we're going to close in prayer. Do you want to close for us, Heidi?
Sure.
All
right. Oh, I shut myself off.
You can use this.
There we go. No, I got it.
All right.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for this gorgeous weather, Lord, that we could be outside again. Thank you for this family. Thank you how we love on each other. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Lord, please, I know where there are two or more in your name. We're gathered and you are there, Lord. We thank you. You have blessed this community so much, blessed us as a family. Lord, we now head to watch and witness people that have chosen to follow you, to change their course of life, and to put you as Lord, their Savior. Baptism and a party, Lord, because it's a celebration. It's a real celebration when someone chooses to do that. We thank you for that opportunity to do that and to be in a country that we can do that whenever and wherever, Lord. We thank you again, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.